Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, we're beginning in the Old Testament lesson. Last two verses of the Old Testament, and we will wander into the words of Jesus. We need eternal things. Lord knows we need eternal things. So all around us, things fall apart. This is true. We need the eternal, and we need the eternal to be connected with our soul. I'm reminded of the words of a missionary and martyr, Jim Elliot. He used to say, before going overseas, martyred first few days on the mission field, but he said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what cannot be lost. And there is a reverse to that. What about the one who doesn't bother with the things eternal and simply chases after the things that cannot be kept? And the whole matter of eternity comes through. Well, here's the beginning text. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. The eternal is seen in there, in turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, because what is it that binds the generations together? It has to be an eternal thing. It has to be an unchanging something. And it's another prophet, it's prophet Isaiah, who lamented at one point, Abraham doesn't know us. Things we say in our days, we've wandered far from the words and the ways of. And for Isaiah, it was far from the words and the ways of Abraham. He wouldn't recognize us. And after that lament, you know, turning of a chapter, it starts out the next chapter, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. But the binding together between the generations, it pulls the generations together, this eternal something. The eternal Word of God, the eternal truths, the unchanging truths, which is why church does not change. Because the Savior doesn't change, and the message of Jesus doesn't change, and the words of Jesus doesn't change, and the words of the Scripture, they do not change, no matter how much our culture and our times would push at the words of the Bible to be changed and modified and made more into our image. But there's a pattern there that we see in life as well. It shows itself in things like marriage, finances, friendships. The marriage where the couple pays attention to the things that last, and is willing to give up some of the things of right now and I want it now, is a marriage that gets stronger. The marriage where the couple says, I want this now, I don't care about a year from now, is a marriage that gets weaker. Same thing with finances, same thing with friendship, same thing with in our souls. The things of God. I want those things of God. And if that means for right now in my soul, I go through stuff because I want to hold on to the things of God, then it's worth it. There's a phrase in the saying. It goes like this. The Christian who has a Bible that's falling apart has a life that is not. We can talk about the ragged Bible. So preparing for this sermon, I went through and tried to come up with some ragged Bibles. This is the most ragged Bible we've got in our house. We've got some pages coming out. They've been taped back in. There's highlights and marginal notes, and you turn in the back, you see yellow tape. The cover, strips of leather, because the cover's wearing through. Yeah. Met a young lady years and years ago with this Bible. The worn out, falling apart Bible, and said to myself, this is one I want to get closer to. So I asked her to marry me. And she did. Here's another one. This one, falling apart. This was the hospital visiting Bible through a number of years. And then it's not only because it's falling apart, it's because, well, when I got the newer one, I told people, somebody came through and shrunk the print. Don't know how that happened. My eyes are the same, aren't they? Yeah, and they laughed. Back when I was in seminary, I needed to ask one of the professors a question, went by his office, knocked on the door. And there he was. It was Dr. Martin Charlemagne, former chaplain in the armed services, so he'd seen a few things. And I asked him a question, and as he's answering, I'm looking around, and there's these piles all over his office. And he pulls out his Greek New Testament. I cannot tell you how many different colors of tape there was on that thing. It had been bound together, I don't know how many times. He opens it up, and there's pages coming out, and there's tape here and tape there, and there's a man whose life was not falling apart because the ragged Bible is one that somebody has been looking in and searching for the words and promises of God. You see, this is how it works. In our life, we face all kinds of things. Those are the challenges to faith. Those are the things that test faith. And when we run back to the Word of God to get our words and promises from God, from that Word of God, to hold and patch together our souls over and over and over again, that book begins to fall apart and the soul gets patched together stronger and stronger and stronger. That's just how it is. We need the eternal and the eternal things of God. And you ask yourself, so you open that book, what will you find in it? You will find forgiveness of sins and promises from God. You will find the story of salvation, the plan from God that Jesus would come into this world, that he would die and rise for sinners like you and me. And that planned from before the first dust of the world was created. And that truth from God, it's there from before the first dust of the world, and that truth from God will be there long after everything is swept away and redone by God. And those eternal truths are the things that we need for our everyday. Those are the things that bind the generations together so that Wouldn't it be nice to meet Martin Luther and talk to him about what it was like nailing 95 theses to the church door, and then having to hold to the truth of the Word of God, hated by many. And then the epistle lesson, Paul talks about that the word of the Lord may speed ahead, and that word of the Lord spreading from nation to nation, from language to language, binding the peoples of the earth together so that in Jesus Christ we are one people. We are the people of God, the nation of God. And it can happen. So I've experienced overseas, sitting down with somebody from South Africa, raised in a township, his experience of life totally different from mine, growing up in a family in the suburbs of Chicago. And then as we're comparing our upbringings, we see how far different everything is. And then we start talking about Jesus and our experience of the living Jesus Christ. And we're talking the same language. And we know we're brothers, because the both of us are brothers of Jesus Christ. That makes us brothers in the Christian faith. And then you get to the gospel, and you have Jesus saying, "You will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness." Oh, really? How about, "You will be brought before doctors and into hospitals. This will be your opportunity to bear witness." How about, "You will deal with people who are unfriendly to you and wish you harm. This will be your opportunity to bear witness." How about, "You will wander into friendships where your friends are going off a way that you know is wrong, and now they're mad at you because you're not running along with them. This will be your opportunity to bear witness." And the reason why that works, is because when we go out into the world, we don't know what we're going to run into. You go through an evangelism training class that tells you, and this is the thing you say when you knock on the door and they answer, and then this is the thing that you say when they ask this particular question. And so you go out and you knock on the door, and they're not asking that question, they're asking something else. What do you do? Well, the thing of it is, the ragged Bible. The ragged Bible is terribly important, because the things that everybody else out there in the world goes through, we share that. We know what it is like to have something go wrong in life, difficulties and problems, and now we've sinned and have to go to God with our sin. Or we went to the doctor and they said something that we were really afraid of hearing. And then we run back to our Bible to find the word and promise from God that will patch us up. And it's in that experience of having faith tested by day after day in this world, it's that gets us ready. So Jesus continues on, and he says, "Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer." Notice what he didn't say. What he didn't say is, "So don't bother opening your Bible." Now take into your soul the eternal things of God. Because those eternal things are your life. They are your eternity. They are your hope in this world where it may not seem that it's falling apart one day, but just wait. And it will happen. And in the words of in the words of the Ragged Bible, you have the words from Jesus, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." You have the words of Jesus that He is the Good Shepherd. You have the words of Jesus, "Because I live, you will live." You have one word from Jesus, Mary, that changes Mary Magdalene's entire existence. You have a phrase from Jesus, "Today you will be with me in paradise," that pulls the thief on the cross out of eternal damnation and brings him into eternal life. These are the words and promises of God that are there for us. So take those words and promises from God into your soul. Take them as your eternity and as your hope. And then Jesus sends you, just by coincidence, to somebody who needs to hear exactly what you have learned from what you've been through and from running to your Bible. Part of our testimony is that while the rest of the world is going mad, Christians have a center. We have a solid rock, and His name is Jesus. And while the rest of the world is afraid and in doubt of the future, we have a good shepherd who holds and keeps us safe in His hands and says, "No one is able to snatch you away." And while the rest of the world fears destruction, we have a promise. Not a hair of your head will perish. Or in the words of the psalm, "You will not abandon my soul to decay, nor let your Holy One see corruption." And Jesus finishes that part by saying, "By your endurance you will gain your lives." And endurance there is enduring in holding to the words and promises of God, running back to them over and over and over again. Simply holding to those promises that Jesus has given. The one old story, the old-fashioned gospel. He is still the same Savior who planned from eternity to come to win your soul. And He will still be the same Savior on into eternity. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Perhaps even by your endurance, you may gain the lives some of those around you. In Jesus' name, amen.